Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we get started with this week's episode. We wanted to remind you that it does take money to put this little free fake radio show out there each week. So now we've got this fancy new merch tab there at www.air-raid.net that you can buy our t-shirts and posters from. And also, we've got a new donate button on the homepage right at the top so you don't forget. And that money goes to a good spot. It goes to, it goes right into my hands. And I use that money to buy booze and cigarettes. It's a good place. Well, hello and welcome, everybody.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
This is episode 123.
I'm not joking around here.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
You sound insane. Do you realize that?
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Woo!
And
that was the second time I got crashed.
Of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining me this week. We've got a great show planned for you. Musical mastermind Chris Orlowski is going to be joining me here in Dining Room Studios here in a bit. We've got a couple of things to talk about. I'm nearing under the weather. I can feel myself getting there. My wife and child have had they've been deathly ill for like 2 weeks straight. And I dodged that bullet for like 2 weeks, but now I feel like I'm getting it. It's upon me right now, and I'm not happy about it. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Also, Thanksgiving coming up this week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you're thankful for one thing or another in your lives. Real quick, I want to just say I am thankful for all of you people who are listening to this. We're thankful for the donations and for the people who buy the posters and the t-shirts. It really helps us out. And also, we're thankful for the people that go to iTunes and rate and review the show. And you can do all this by going, first of all, to www.air-raid.net. And then also look up the Air Raid Podcast on iTunes and rate and review the show. Another thing I'm thankful for is good friends. Now, we got some bad news last week. A close friend of the show, Tristan Devon, was found dead in the People's Republic Cafe. This is the guy that helped me get all the comedians on the show. The Air Raid Podcast owes Tristan a lot. I don't think I would be in the position I am today with this show without the help of Mr. Tristan Devon. Very, very funny comedian. Very nice man. Always knew how to make my daughter smile whenever he came over here. And keep her in check if he needed to. he was a wonderful, wonderful person. If you would like to come out and help celebrate Tristan Devon's life, you can come to Laugh Hole on November 20th, which may or may not be the very last one, because he was kind of the mastermind behind all the Laugh Holes here in Seattle, held at Chop Suey. November 20th with Duncan Trussell. I will be there in attendance. We'll be talking with Duncan for the show. And it'll be a good way to pay respects to a very great man. And to wherever you are now, Tristan, I would just like to put this out into the ether like I said before, we would not be where we are today without your help, sir. And rest in peace. You are a good, good man and a very, very funny comedian. And I'm sorry you had to go so soon. Okay, so let's move on, shall we? We've done too much stuff about death in the recent months. So so let's move on. I'm not feeling great right now. I'm getting the cold that my wife and my child have had for like the last, I don't know, two weeks almost. It's almost been like 2 weeks. And they have just been, I mean, they had to stay home. It was bad. And now I'm worried that this is coming, this is coming up right before Thanksgiving. And I'm going to be sick and not wanting to eat my, you know, little cholesterol-filled heart out at my grandparents' house. So I'm a little worried about that. I'm a little worried that I'm not going to be able to stuff my face. However, I guess it would be okay. Man, I'll tell you what. There's another thing. I don't know if I was going to talk about this, but anyway, it's kind of a funny story. But like, so at this moment, I am getting very stuffed up. My head, I've been having these like headaches. And it all kind of stems back to a couple days ago. I got my hair cut at this, well-known, kind of chain, hip, barbershop. And they now give like free, they raise their prices a little bit, and now they give like free, with the haircut, they give a free wash, right? They wash your head. And, anyway, I'm sitting there in the chair. And I'm a talker, obviously, and I'm talking, I'm chatting this lady up who's cutting my hair. And not only did I got like a lesson on the American Revolutionary War, which was actually a rather interesting conversation. I don't remember very many of the specifics, but she really knew her stuff, man. Some battles that took place here, in Victoria, BC and stuff like that. I mean, just kind of cool stuff. Anyway, she's talking about that American Revolutionary War, and then we kind of switch subjects, and it comes out that she's into like drifting, right? You guys know what drifting is, right? In a car, in like a little tiny car. She's telling me how she can basically swing a car around from driving to parallel parked in between two cones. Like she is that good. She can like swing a car into a parallel parking spot. She's never tried it in between two actual cars, but with the cones, she can do it. And then she takes me over to wash my hair. Nice lady, very, very nice lady. We had a great conversation, but the car thing tipped me off to like, okay, this lady, you know, she's a little rugged, right? She might be a little tougher. She probably changes her own oil. Her hands are probably, she might have man hands. Well, she starts, scrubbing my head down, and she said, everybody deserves a free head massage once in a while. And man, she started going to town on my scalp, and I swear to God, I mean, for those of you who have met me, things are getting thin. Things are getting thin up top, and I want to hang on to as much of what I've got up there as humanly possible, because I don't want it to get pulled out. I want to keep it there. But this woman just went to, I mean, her hands, she was digging her fingers into my skull, and it was very, very painful. And at one point, she even said, "You need to relax." And I was like, I was so tense, it hurt so bad. But I didn't want to be that guy that was like, hey, can you lighten up there? But meanwhile, I think I've got a new kind of bald spot up there from where she pulled out a whole bunch of hair. And I've been having these headaches, back to the headaches thing, because she bruised the shit out of the top of my scalp. Just straight up bruised it, man. Ow. Ugh. Anyway, I digress. I did want to say that I went to Kingston, Kingston, Washington, this last weekend, and had ran into a listener Scotty. Scotty, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry that you took off too early, man. I was going to buy you a drink because I wanted you to think I was cool. So hey, if you run into me out in the wilds of the Northwest or wherever we may meet up. Don't run away. Don't run away. I might have something else that I need to do, but I will come back and talk to you and possibly buy you a drink because I want you guys to think I'm awesome. Okay? So if you see me out there, just wait for it. Just wait for it. All right. Let's get to this, shall we? This is good stuff. Great conversation with Mr. Chris Orlowski coming up for you guys. This is the song All My People Go off of their new EP called Pieces We Are. And you can find that at chrisorlowski.bandcamp.com. So yeah, go check that out. This is Chris Orlowski. All My People Go. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, folks.
Traverse through fabled lands and make my mark. Starved confusion waves is won. I'm warm and fed and won't move on to lead and fight. All my people go. When you live beyond the labels you have worn, all my people go. Chained up, hardly even chained up. It's hardly even what I, who I. My legacy is safe notes. Empire in two times. Building a conscious load. Go, go. All my people go. All my people go. All my people go. When you
All right, welcome back. That was Chris Orlowski with the song All My People Go off of his brand new EP, which I do not have pulled up on my computer. But get this. He's sitting right in front of me, so he can tell you. What's the name of the EP, Chris?
That's actually a great question. That's Pieces We Are.
Pieces We Are. Okay, well, it's fantastic. I've really been enjoying it. Thank you so much for joining me here in Dining Room Studios. Yeah, Chris, buddy.
Yeah, Aaron.
We had this lined up for last week.
Oh, no.
Can we tell this story really quick?
No, let it fly.
You're blushing. So we had this interview lined up for last week. See, here's what I do now for the show. Let you guys a little insider information. I will line up like 4 to 5 interviews at the start of each month, and then I'll just bang through them. If I could use a sexual term, we'll just bang right through all those interviews,
And nobody's wearing pants. That's just another insider info. So Chris, you were lined up to come in last week with no pants on.
Right.
And you came. You got to the point where you finally got here. You parked. You accidentally left your lights on, and I was kind enough to tell you that. So you went back. You ran to your van. And then you came up, you got all the way to our door, and you were like, so how long is this going to take? And I said, about 45 minutes. He's like, I got to go.
I was like, I am a jerk. I got here late. You helped me turn my lights off. Yeah. And then as soon as I get to the door, I'm like, oh, shoot. Actually, I don't have time.
I don't have time for this. I got to go up to Bellingham and play a show with Hey Marseille, right?
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Who it was. Yeah, we've had them on the show real briefly. I met them at Sasquatch last year. Were you guys at Sasquatch?
No, we didn't make the cut,
no?
Unfortunately. But you know, who knows? Maybe we'll make it the next 5 years. Maybe.
In the next five years?
Yeah.
Wow, you really keep that goal like low-lying, don't you?
You know, I really want to meet expectations and exceed them.
Oh, man. Can we just talk about your van really quick?
Yeah,
that
actually,
a beast of a van.
I just switched. I had a different van buddies, and then he gave me his other van. So
Alan Stone has two vans.
Yeah, he has two, but then he also has like his tour rig now that he's been driving.
Oh, so, no shit. Do they have a legit bus, like Macklemore's bus? Did you see the photos of Macklemore's bus?
Yeah, I know, it's sick.
Holy crap. And it says Macklemore on it.
I know, it's pretty crazy. And the thing is, Alan got his before Mac did. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I'm just going to say, I love both of those guys. Yeah. I don't really know Ben and Ryan that well, but
but
they're all awesome. It's just Alan got his first, so I'm just going to make that very clear.
But give respect where respect is due. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Exactly.
So is that a goal? Is that a goal to like get to the point where you have like a giant bus?
Yes, actually, I went and saw Alan open for Dave at the Gorge this summer.
Oh, really?
And yeah. Dave has like a bus for each musician,
right?
And so as soon as they get done, you see they all get in their buses.
Yeah,
and
nobody talks to each other.
Yeah, they all just exactly like we did the show. Like that's all we need to do. And then they all file out one after the other, and then everybody else can leave once that's happened. Yeah, it's pretty unreal. That's what I've heard, and that's Alan was telling me.
Yeah.
And those guys are so big, like, well, they can do whatever they want. You know, it's like...
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, well, let's start here. What would you put in your bus? What, like size of television? Like, what are the essentials that Chris Orlowski would have on his tour bus? And this is like, you know, you can name anything. This is like fantasy bus.
I didn't realize we'd
hot
be getting
tub
this deep
with
into
like
it.
Playboy cool. bunnies. I don't care.
Yeah, there'd have to be.
This is real deep conversation.
There'd have to be at least a male to female ratio at all times on the bus. I'm not trying to like get too skeezy. Like the girls can be dressed, and there's nothing like it's. You know, it's. They're just. They got to be there. It's got to be a male to female ratio.
That's respectable. Yeah, that's respectable.
And then we would definitely have like a couple Wi-Fi hotspots on the bus. Not just one, but like a couple for some real time gaming. I'm not a huge gamer, but I value that, and I think you know people should have that available to them, you know, for the guys.
Yeah, yeah, so, totally.
And then beyond that, green M&Ms in every
green,
bunk.
Oh, come on! Now you're pulling. Yeah, yeah,
I know. I had to throw it in there. It's a joke. I don't know. I've always wondered, you know, what somebody who's not in a band would do. Like, what would you do if you had a bus?
Well, I used to be in a band.
What?
So
what bands?
It was a terrible band.
Those guys.
The Huge. We were called the Huge because it was funny to say when somebody asks, like, what kind of music do you guys play? We say, oh, the Huge. You know? How many times? Okay, here's a new goal. I'm going to use that joke somewhere in each episode from now on.
Dude, this whole interview is going to be so super annoying because I'm just going to be laughing. Like, be like, this guy is stupid. He just laughs the whole time.
Nonsense. So in my bus, I think there would be pretty much the same thing. It would just have to at least have like a game console.
Oh, yeah.
And
wait, I mean, which one though? Like Nintendo?
It'd have to be like maybe a PS3 or an Xbox 360 or something. And then somehow it would have to be a bigger television.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it would be my own bus because then I would just sit there and play just video games.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I actually was thinking about it the other night where, like, that would probably be my fantasy right there. Just, like, so I could get some... Because with a daughter now, I don't get much game time in. I'm kind of a gamer.
What games? Yeah.
Let's see. I'm playing one right now called Dead Island.
Oh, I've never...
That's really cool.
See, I'm not in the game world as much as I used to be. I used to be, like, a StarCraft guy. And
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
More nerdy, gamey kind of
thing.
Right.
Age of Empires.
Actually, yeah. But here's a little secret. I've had some downtime this weekend, and this thing came up on my computer. It said Forge of Empires, and I got into it, and I couldn't stop playing it for like 6 hours this weekend. Don't tell my interns. They thought I was working the whole time. But dude, I'm getting back into the gaming a little bit, so that's why I brought that up.
It can engulf your life.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
You don't watch out. But it's also such a great release to just kind of relax. Like you're saying, you don't get that much time because your daughter.
Yeah.
You're so busy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I'm just like super sought after person.
It's hard to get a hold of you, to be honest. You're a busy guy.
Thanks. So my bus would have like a big TV and then some sort of game console and some, there'd have to be a way to like watch like Blu-ray movies. Mm.
Blu-ray
on it.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever watched a Blu-ray, to be honest.
Maybe I'll show you the beginning of Batman.
That would be cool.
Before you leave, because you're gonna drop one in your pants. It's amazing. It's amazing. So Chris, let's switch gears here. You are a musician, and you are from the Northwest. Where do you originally hail from?
I'm from Bellingham.
Bellingham, Washington. Yeah. Did you go to Western?
I went to Western. You stayed
in your hometown for college.
So in high school, all of a sudden I graduated. I didn't realize there was something after high school. I was kind of like, now what? And so I really wanted to play soccer. So I went to Skagit Valley College and I played 2 years of soccer.
Because I'm a huge... scholarship or something? Or?
No, they don't really have scholarships at the community college level anyway.
Okay.
So after I got done with Skagit, I went up to Whatcom, finished up my degree, and then went to Western. And went over to the University of London to study through Western for like a quarter and, found music there and fell in love and, the full 90. And then came back and finished up my communication degree at Western and then came down here about 7 years ago.
Communications.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think you were going to go into? Do you have a day job?
I do. Yeah, I do marketing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty relatable to
what. Yeah, yeah.
I started out doing market research, and so pretty much everything that I'd learned in school, I actually am applying, but I didn't really pay attention that well in school, so I'm not really applying it, but I kind of, if I would have paid attention more, I would have definitely been applying it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a daydreamer. I'm a musician. Like, it's hard for me to focus. I've gotten better at it.
Were you playing?
I got a job,
Yeah. Well, definitely like, once you get that first professional job that like could become a career, you definitely are learning stuff every day for at least like the first like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You
totally.
Know, and then you kind of slide into it and you become good at it. You know,
I just got done with my 5 years at Project Line where I work.
Oh, good.
Awesome company.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
You're 30. Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were a bit younger.
Yeah.
You look very young.
Thank you.
That's a good thing.
I try to keep that vibe that I'm like 27, 26.
Right.
Not too edgy, but kind of.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I get that.
Under the radar.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So let's see. You transferred over to Western after a couple years, right? And then, what made you want to go into communications? Were you looking for something that could like, that you could do at the same time as playing music? I'm guessing that you...
I actually didn't play much in college. No? I was in a high school like rock band, which was more like folk rock, but soft rock. But once I got into college, I kind of lost the music for a while until I went to London. So when I got back up to Western, I had like a year and a half left, and I started playing the open mics there. But it wasn't always on my mind. So when I was in school, I was more like, well, what do I want to do with my life? I guess I like learning about people. I like understanding people. And I thought, well, since I like connecting with people, why don't I do communication? Later, when looking back, I'm wondering why I didn't do psychology or like sociology. I think those would have been really interesting mm-hmm. for me. But for what I'm doing now for work, it's the best thing I could have done besides like a business degree, which would have been very similar. So
yeah. So I mean, do you work for yourself? Is this like your own business, or do you work for a company? You work for a company. You just said that, right?
I work for a company.
Okay. Yeah. And they're pretty cool about like letting you go off on tour and stuff like that.
I'm leaving on Thursday to go on tour and taking 2 days off, and then I come back Sunday. And as long as I put in my notice and let them know, like, they've always been really good about it. I can work from the road if I need to.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't if I can help it, just because it's harder to do that. But
yeah,
they're really good about it. And I'm a vendor for another company, and so my vendor, the clients that I have are usually really good about it too. I haven't had any clients that have said no, you can't go on tour.
Right. And how long is this next tour that you have coming up?
So it was supposed to be like about 6 day tour, but this guy named Benjamin Francis Leftwich out of UK, he's a singer songwriter, pretty big over there. He was coming over here to do a West Coast tour, and I was going to open for him for like 3 dates, Portland, Eugene, and Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a co-bill in Seattle because we're a lot bigger than he is here, but it's kind of a give and take. His dad got lung cancer, and he had to cancel whole tour. So now, like, we're doing 3 dates, one in Seattle. 4 dates. Stanford University, Hotel Cafe in L.A., uh-huh. Hotel Utah in San Francisco, and then Seattle next week.
Okay. So yeah.
It's kind of like not as huge of a tour, but I'm kind of glad because we're really hitting just like the main markets where we can really, really do some damage and have a great time.
Yeah, so, yeah. So do you like going on tour then?
Yeah, it's great.
It's not old for you yet?
It can get pretty tough on the road after a while, but you know, I did a 2 week tour once, and that was a little exhausting. I was like, wow, I'm really glad to be back home. So I don't know how those guys do it for like months at a time. Like,
that's insane.
Hey Marseille's out. They've been out there for, I think, 3 weeks, but Sam, their cello player, has been out for 7 because he was with Head in the Heart, Brian John Appleby thing for a while.
Yeah,
so he's like, dude, I miss home so much right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I don't know how you do it, man. At least you get to play music every night, you ass.
Yeah, you're getting paid to do something that you love.
That guy's awesome. Do you know Sam Anderson? You should have him on sometime, man.
No, wait a minute. Which one is Sam?
He's the tall, lanky guy that's really good at frisbee. He plays cello in Hey Marseille, Cataldo.
I think I did. I think he was on the show when we talked at Sasquatch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've only talked with those guys for I think it was just like 10 minutes or something like that.
Cool.
You know, because it's crazy at Sasquatch because they put you guys, you know, they put us in this, there's this press area, right? This building. And then bands just kind of file in there sometimes.
Yeah, okay. I've seen that.
We're just, everybody's just like playing grab ass with these bands. It's like, hey, will you come and talk to me for 10 minutes, you know, here and there. And so it's kind of an awkward place to do it.
Yeah.
You know? If I can put another sexual connotation on two of this interview.
You have great hands, by the way. I'm just... just gonna keep going.
Very funny. Yeah, just keep it going. So this EP that you guys have out right now, it's very heavily... what's the word I'm looking for?
Orchestrated,
yeah. That's it. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, I mean, were you ever classically trained in music at all, or
you know, to be
did
honest,
you play piano when you
I did play
when
piano.
You were a kid?
Yeah,
yeah.
I can't say I had much to do with the string, the orchestration.
Okay.
Besides the production outside of it and making sure that we were able to get people there at the right time and get the right group and help plan for the whole idea of it and the vision of it.
Right.
The actual players who we hired and writing the orchestration, I had a lot less to do with that. I helped with the arrangements and said, hey, this is a cool idea. What do you think of this? But Andrew Joslin, my one of my best friends, he's the composer. And I said, we're going to write these 5 songs and we want orchestration to them. And it's something we've done before, actually, just on really, like he did a quartet thing for us. And so this was the next level for the two of us working together. But he just kills it every time. He's working with Dave Bazan next on a project.
Oh, wow.
He works. He's actually Macklemore's violin player.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
He tours in that bus with them. In fact, that's why we're touring this week instead of 2 weeks ago.
Because he's got to go back out.
He was out on tour with them.
So, okay. Okay. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. I mean, it's always really impressive to me when there's like basically a full orchestra.
Yeah.
Playing unreal. with kind of a, I don't know what. What would you consider your music? What style?
We're usually classified as like a folk pop, folk rock.
Folk pop?
I say folk pop usually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's a good descriptor for the type of music that's coming out of Seattle right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm always really impressed with that because it seems, you know, when I was in college, I had another band in college, and we used to play with a string section sometimes, and it was always, I mean, awesome.
It was so cool.
But you definitely had to have like somebody in the band that knew how to read music and knew how to like write this stuff down because, you know, I mean, people who play violin and cello, like that's how they play the music, right? It's got to be written down.
Yeah.
I mean
Andrew can improv, the guy who wrote all this stuff, but you know, and this cello player, Natalie, who plays with Mac too. She's been playing with us for a couple, like maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. She can also improv
the singer?
A little bit too.
Is she the one that was singing on like Same Love or something like that? Or
that's somebody else.
Okay.
Lambert.
Miranda Lambert. Yeah.
But, like most of them can't improv. So it's pretty necessary to have somebody like Andrew to kind of connect the dots.
Yeah. So. Well, when you have so many instruments there going at the same time too, it's like you need to have, you know, stuff written out to keep everybody on point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not everybody can just be like improvising the whole time.
And we actually had a conductor come in too.
Oh, really?
And for the actual recording, the Kim West, I think is her name. I can't remember. She's awesome. I feel like such a jerk not remember her name, but she came in from the Seattle Rock Orchestra back.
Right,
directed the whole thing. And Scott Teske, who's like the bass player, he came in and laid down some stand-up bass. So we had a lot of Seattle rock people there, just because Andrew plays with those guys a lot, and I've done some stuff with them. But it was definitely like a huge, huge collaboration, and that's one of the reasons we called it The Pieces We Are, because it was to us like a lot of different pieces to create like a bigger whole,
really
collaborative effort. So.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah. So let me ask you a personal question. When you were in the studio recording this EP...
I wasn't wearing pants.
You were right. Very personal. Very personal. When you were in the studio recording this, like, was it an emotional experience to hear like that? All the like, you know, all the sounds of the different instruments being played along with the songs that you had written.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, actually. Which probably wouldn't be the first response, I guess you'd think, but I stood
there and laughed for hours.
Yeah. I was so busy trying to make sure that everybody like felt comfortable, like the orchestra. Yeah. I was like getting tea and coffee and stuff because we didn't have an intern there for that session to help us. So I was just making sure they were all comfortable for the first hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
But after we got settled, like I remember listening back when we had a final product. And like I did like actually have like a tear. To be honest. The song Mountains, I Will Go is actually the song. It's a lot. I don't know what the word is. I guess a lot more romanticized and you can hear the classical arrangements really come out in that one. A lot more. It's a little bit more somber and dramatic. I Will Go. That was probably the biggest standout track on the record.
On the new one.
On the new one. And for listeners that knew our stuff and that liked what we were doing, I think that was the one that resonated the most. I think the one that resonates as a whole, though, to the bigger audience, it's kind of like a gateway drug for getting into the album. There's two songs, All My People or Mountains. The first and the last tracks are a little bit more driven, a little bit more rock, but then you add the classical arrangements and it's like this really unique, like beautiful, sonically wonderful thing to listen to. Super biased. I mean, because
It's yours.
To write the songs, but like just hearing those arrangements really brings it to a different level. Maybe not a better level in some ways. Some people like it with just the band, but it just, to me, it brought it to a different place that it wouldn't otherwise have gone, which is cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, with that, let's go to our second musical break. We're going to, let's see. This song is called In Between Days. We're going to go with this one first. In Between Days by Chris Orlowski. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Yesterday I got so old, I felt like I could die. Yesterday I got so old, made me wanna cry. So go on, go on, just walk away. Go on, go on, your choice is made. Go on, go on, and disappear. Go on, go on. So scared, I shivered like a child. Yesterday, away from you, froze me deep inside. So come back, come back.
All right, we are back. That was the song In Between Days by Chris Orlowski. And you can find this at chrisorlowski.com, and that's Chris with a K. And we'll post a link to your website up on our website. So, yeah, go to that. And let's see, you can buy the album from your website, correct?
Yep.
Probably get it on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
actually,
all that good stuff.
It's crazy. We charted on iTunes.
Did you?
Yeah, we were like number 12 on the singer songwriter charts.
No shit.
It was crazy.
Wow, congratulations.
I didn't expect that. Thanks.
That's a pretty cool thing, man. Because like, you know, whenever we get on the charts, which is you know, few and far between, but when we do get up there, you know, it's a great thing. It shows that people are, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such like an added bonus and exposure too, because people find you on the charts. They're looking for new stuff, and they look on the charts, and it's a great way to get exposure to a wider audience, which is always kind of the name of the game in the music industry, you know.
Yeah, totally. Along with the podcast industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Except there's way less money in it.
well, it's almost pretty equal at this point. Music's definitely losing value.
Well, let me ask you about that. So when you guys, I mean, from record sales and stuff, are you losing money? And let me know if this is too personal, but are you losing money, or are you able to kind of break even and keep afloat? And along with like being able to pay the musicians that come on tour with you.
So for this EP, we had a lot of people to pay.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I mean, there was 18 orchestral people, that, and then the band actually didn't take any money. They just took a percentage, and then same with Andrew, the violin player. And so we haven't necessarily made all our money back. You know, we were hoping to make a lot of them. Well, I don't really know what we've made online, because you know iTunes, you don't get the reports for like a month and a half after. So we may have made our money back by now. I don't know, but with the live show, it was pretty incredible. We sold like 260 CDs just at our CD release party.
And this was
the Triple Door. We did two shows, sold out with the full orchestra. So again, we had to pay a ton of people. Like the result, it was just so beautiful. Like the music was so beautiful. That stage is amazing. Like you can hear a pin drop in there. So you can imagine sonically, it was a treat to be on
I've
stage.
Always wanted to go down there. I've never been to a show at the Triple Door. I take it I need to go.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. That's really cool, and congratulations on all that success.
Thanks.
So let's switch gears a little bit, and let's find out a little bit more about you. You said we talked about how you grew up in Bellingham, right? Born and raised. Yeah.
Yep.
Were your parents musical at all? Like, I mean, where does all this come from?
Yeah, my dad's and my mom used to play weddings.
Oh, really?
As a duo, yeah.
No way. Was that like the most embarrassing thing
I
ever?
I don't really remember it. And to be honest, it was so second nature by the time I could remember like a few of the weddings they played. And it was just like, yeah, there's my mom and dad, whatever.
Right.
But my dad has written a bunch of his own songs. Like, and there was this record, like a vinyl, that was on the piano that had him in like this hippie shirt. With like these kind of, he had kind of broken up teeth like before he got braces, and he's on this mountaintop looking with his guitar out, looking over. You know?
My god!
And you're like, oh my gosh, this is so classic. And to me, I was like, oh my gosh, my dad's got a record, and it was like a Christian rock record.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So,
did you grow up pretty religious?
Yeah, I grew up Catholic, so yeah. I come from a Catholic background.
Are you still practicing?
I still believe. The root of Catholicism, which, you know, at the root of it is love, you know, the idea of really loving people no matter what. I think that gets lost a lot of times in Catholicism, with a lot of the other, I don't know how to say this without getting in trouble. So I just won't. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of stuff with Christianity in general that can kind of get buried in,
well, that's any religion.
In any religion. And so, at the end of the day, I believe in love, and I believe in a lot of those moral beliefs. And I'm glad I was raised that way. I don't go to church anymore. I'd like to, but I just haven't made it a priority, and maybe that'll change. I don't know.
So, what do your parents think about that?
You know, they support me no matter what. So. Yeah, I think they're just glad that
it sounds
still,
like they were more on the,
God.
So. Yeah. I think they sound like they're more on the side of the spectrum, the hippier.
Yeah, my dad side of the came spectrum. From like a really like devout Catholic background. Like my uncle Joseph is a priest, and he does these Latin masses. Mm-hmm. Like he speaks in Latin, and
wow,
it's pretty cool to watch actually.
Except it's like 4 hours long.
Yeah,
right?
Except for that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, try not to think about that. Try to bring a good book and just.
Yeah.
But that part of my family, they're really great people. They're just really into their faith. And then my mom's side is a little bit more chilled out. They're from Aberdeen. Like she like went to high school with Kurt Cobain, and they're just more chill.
Yeah.
And she's actually more like social justice, liberal Catholic. And so she's always,
so they supported your decision like to not go to church anymore. And
well,
and
I haven't like not necessarily, it hasn't really been like a, hey, I'm going to stop going to church. Haven't really gone, and I don't see them in that much. And I don't even go when I'm up in Bellingham anymore. So I'm just kind of,
Yeah. I respect that, man. Yeah. It's a, you know, I mean, to each their own, and some people practice religion in different ways. And I think, you know, we can definitely get real bogged down in like structure and tradition.
Yeah.
You know? And
I kind of forget what it's all about.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that goes back to what you said before is like, you know, that's where the problems start, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of value in church and organized religion, the community aspect of that especially. So many people are without communities, you know, and that can be such a huge help to people's stability.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's something that I've been missing lately is community. Because
it's hard to get, you know, in the city too.
Yeah.
Well, the older you get, yeah, it's definitely harder.
Yeah, like there's priorities shift and stuff, but yeah, it's one thing I'm struggling with to like kind of get back into my life is some of those musician friends that I've lost touch with, or mm-hmm. and some of those other friends that aren't even involved with music, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So your dad was definitely an influence on you then, musically.
Yeah, he wrote this song called "Papa, Won't You Tell Me About Christmas?"
Yeah.
And my mom would like put this Christmas sweater on me, and he'd prop me up on the piano in front of like the whole church at like 3 years old. I'm singing this song.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say like 13.
Yeah, last year. Like, put the Christmas sweater on me. And yeah, so that's like what I remember is like just singing in front of hundreds of people when I was a kid. So that, I think, helped me like adapt to being on stage, and
mm-hmm.
it's never really been like a... I mean, did
you, when you started like playing music for real,
yeah,
real in air quotes,
a couple months ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Did you have stage fright? Was that, that an issue still?
I it's not as much like getting up there as just like being up there and being like, man, this is going to suck. Like, and I hope people can still accept me even after I like sing like shit, you know? So...
Yeah. You got a shit in there.
Yes.
Right? Good job.
Legitimate. Good job. I'm legitimate now.
Yeah. I mean, I always wish my parents had played music when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But
even
now
if it was Christian rock.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, because the way I grew up, it was like my parents had like four go-to albums that they would always listen to. It was either that or listening to like,
wait, what albums?
Oh man. Okay. So
I got
my mom
a couple
had,
to tell you about. Once
yeah,
you're done.
My dad was a little bit better. He had, you know, Pet Sounds it wasn't a specific Beatles album, but he had like this, the Past Masters Volume 1 and 2.
That sounds legit. I don't know.
Yeah, but it was like the same. It was those two
those
albums
two.
Over and over and over again for 13 years of my life. And then my mom, she was the worst. She didn't have anything until about like early 90s when Crash Test Dummies started coming out, you know, or mid 90s, I guess. But so it was for her, it was like Crash Test Dummies, Eric Clapton Unplugged, which was fine for the first like four times that I heard it.
Yeah.
And then 10,000 Maniacs Unplugged. And so it was those three albums for her over and over and over again. Maybe it's some Joni Mitchell thrown in there. But I always wish that my parents had been, you know, more into music or even played instruments or anything like that, you know,
yeah.
Because I think that probably would have made me a better musician when I was older.
Yeah.
But hearing your story, I'd just be like, well, okay, no matter how cool your parents are when you grow up, they're still embarrassing as hell when you're a
true.
Child, right? No matter what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
I mean, were you embarrassed at all for that album cover?
No.
When like kids came over and saw it?
No, I thought it was the coolest thing, to be honest. But I was embarrassed.
Like, that's my dad on a mountain with a guitar.
Like, my dad has a record. What's your dad got?
Yeah, exactly.
My dad can definitely beat up your dad with a guitar. I remember when I was growing up, it was like Kenny G was on tap, and I was like,
oh yeah,
I hate
Kenny
this.
G was a big one.
And then Simon Garfunkel, which was like a good one.
Yeah.
And Enya, I actually kind of dig because my mom put it on, which I don't think I've ever admitted that, so this is the first time I've admitted
it. You heard it here first.
Yeah,
bro.
Exactly. And then oh gosh, I know there was a bunch of others, but those were the three I remember. My sister, though,
you got an
God
older
bless her.
Older sister?
She's
or
younger.
Younger?
She is crazy. She
didn't
put
make
heart,
it out, huh?
She would put heart. Yeah, she didn't make it. She's yeah, rest her soul. But she would put heart on a record player and put it on chipmunk mode and dance around the house. to Heart, and Nancy Wilson, just like going crazy.
Oh my God.
And then she would also put the Beach Boys Mariah Carey Christmas album on repeat. And to this day, I can't listen to Mariah Carey because of that. Wait, I could never. Never mind.
Yeah. You used to be a huge fan.
Yeah. I used to love her stuff.
Yeah. What were your go-tos when you were a young kid? What kind of music were you into?
I wasn't really into music, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
You didn't have any albums like growing up?
Not until like late high school. Then I bought Batman Forever soundtrack and Sarah McLachlan were my first two. I was a weird kid.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a weird kid.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it was a different time. That's why my music's so sensitive, I think. That's probably
right. Yeah. You grew up a very sensitive child.
That's I don't know what you're doing on the show, Aaron, but I'm opening up way too much. This is not good.
This is what we do. Yeah. This is what we do.
It's like counseling or something. So then I bought Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah. You're not the first person to say that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's been some pretty... There's been some tears shed on this show before.
That's cool. I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like it, you know, shows people who people really are.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't Bob Saget that cried.
It was not Bob Saget who cried.
Okay.
No. So your voice, you have a very unique singing voice, almost to the point where because I've been listening to a lot of it, coming up to this chat we're having now, and like I thought, what, you know, he must have a lisp. Do you get that?
Oh,
much?
Interesting. I've never gotten.
Have
that.
You ever heard that? Has anybody?
No, that's really cool. Actually,
yeah, because like your singing voice, it does. It's I'm gonna try to choose my words carefully here because I really do like it, and this is not a slight on the way that you sing, but it's like it sounds lazy.
Yeah, totally. Actually, I have gotten that, like, almost people saying, like, I can't understand everything you're saying. Like, could you pronounce your words better? I had a management company I worked with a couple of years back that were like, man, you need to pronounce your words on this next record.
See, I don't think so. I don't think so. No, I think you should keep on doing it how you're doing it, man. Because
I don't know if I can change it at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'd need to like hire somebody to like come to your place like once a day. But no, it's very, and please don't take it the wrong way that I say it's lazy. It just means that, like, you know, it's very loose the way you sing it. And it sounds like you almost like have a lisp or something.
That's so interesting.
And that's not intentional.
Mm-mm.
I mean, did you?
Yeah. I just kind of singing like naturally. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Do you have to like really work at like changing your natural voice to do that?
I got voice lessons about a year ago.
Really?
And I learned how to breathe the right way because I had learned in high school when I was in choir or whatever.
Yeah.
But jazz choir, actually. But
yeah.
But when I got into this vocal school, it was like this guy named, gosh, what was his name? Will.
You are terrible at names. That's what we're learning. That's our. That's my takeaway from this show. Real.
Chris is a great guy, but sucks with names.
You can't even remember his dad's name. It's weird.
Pieces We Are. yes, Will. I can't remember his last name. I can't even remember his band's name. But he's an awesome dude, and I almost want to go take more lessons from him. But he taught me how to sing from my stomach instead of my chest. From my diaphragm, I guess is the other way to look at it. And
is that like a hard thing to learn? I mean, I always like looked at that, like voice lessons. Like I, you know, just hear about people taking them and stuff, and I'd be like, man, that's just. I don't think I'd be able to, one, pay attention, and then two, even get what they're talking about. Like I just don't think that would be in my wheelhouse.
I think you could do it. I think you could do it, Aaron. I think you'd do a great job.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. I think it's just...
Well, what's it like? I mean, you sing for them, right? And then they tell you, no, you're doing it wrong?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because like everybody sings differently, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain ways of singing. Like, I guess you have to go into it being like, do I want to sing like a rock singer? Or do I want to sing opera? Or like, how do I want to sing this? And he was singing from more of a rock standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm in a band now. I've got to be able to carry my voice above four or five instruments. And so learning how to really get a lot more support behind my vocals and sing, singing higher or lower. There was this really interesting thing where I could sing. He's like, sing from your head. And I was like, what? And the more I started singing, the more I would get the difference. It was just a matter of him educating me and saying, hey, this is how you're supposed to be singing. Now try this. And you go, oh, and then like I'd try that and I'd be like, oh, and he'd be like, nah, it's not really. And then he said, try it again and use, breathe more from your throat or breathe more from your head. And like these different things to like get me to do it the right way. And it was really interesting, but at first
frustrating?
Like, I was like, this guy's full of shit. And then as the more I like got to like, that's two, right?
That's twice. Yeah.
And three. Somehow.
Good job.
The more I did it, the more I realized this guy's totally legit. And I've actually learned a bunch and I'm a different singer as of like the last year and a half.
Really?
And
really?
People have mentioned it. They're like, wow, you're sounding a lot better. I was like,
oh, that's cool, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. What were you saying? That's like kind of a backhanded compliment, isn't it?
I know, but I'm just glad I sound better.
Yeah. So what's the end goal here? I mean, you know, a lot of bands, are, doing, you know, great things here in the city. But there's definitely kind of like, and this is a conversation that I've had with a couple people now, Eric Blood being one of them.
Oh yeah.
That we had on the show a couple months ago. And he was talking about like the Seattle bubble. He said, it's hard for bands that do well in this city to like make it outside of here.
Yeah.
Do you see that same thing?
Like outside of Washington?
He says more of like the Northwest, because like people from Seattle can go down to like Portland and sometimes in Idaho and stuff like that and do pretty well. But making it out of like the Northwest, is it a hard thing to do?
I feel like I'm still discovering that. I've been playing down in LA for a couple years now, like every 6 months or so. And it's starting to catch on down there.
Like what kind of crowds are we talking about down in LA?
Probably like 40 to 50. I mean, it's not.
So that's pretty good though.
Yeah. It's not huge though. I mean,
yeah.
It's enough where we can get a booking, but it's still,
right.
We need help sometimes to get those bookings. That's a hard question, Aaron. I don't know. Like, I think it really depends on your genre. I think our music, for example, is like pretty easy to listen to. Like it's folk pop. Like it's a lot more mainstream than some of the other stuff in Seattle.
Yeah.
And so because of that, it's easier for us to get almost compared to artists that are in California or an artist that are more mainstream, because we can kind of pitch that way
to
the fans in LA or in San Francisco. Whereas up here, it's like we're almost like kind of on that line, you know, like Head in the Heart kind of is doing.
They
appeal to like the mainstream, but they all also appeal to kind of like more of an indie hip kind of scene. And I think we're riding that line a little bit. We're not really that hip, I wouldn't say, but definitely have like a little bit more edgy sound than a lot of singer-songwriter bands do.
Yeah.
And so I think we kind of play that line a little bit. So because of that, I think we're able to get outside of the bubble a little bit more, but I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot lately and like taking it to the next level, like Alan Stone, like I was mentioning him earlier before we got in the interview, and it's cool to see him come up and the way he's done it. I don't necessarily know if I totally understand it, but it kind of comes down to like building in a couple different markets at the same time almost, and then having all of those markets kind of like blast at once. Like all of a sudden you're big in Seattle and you're big in LA and you're big in New York, you know, like I kind of felt like that happened with Alan, you know. Like he's been working the LA scene for a long time, and it was just starting to get more known in Seattle, and it just those hit both at the same time. And then New York is where his management company was out of at the time, and so, or one of his managers, and so like I think it was a little bit of a perfect storm for him. And I think that's what we're attempting to do, is like kind of, we still want to build out up regionally, because I don't think we've really hit the mark there yet. We're still building our regional following, but
getting
some more support in LA and New York and maybe Austin or maybe Chicago, or getting another market outside of here that we can help kind of build a tour around later on.
Right.
It's the next step. Eventually I'd like to do music full time.
That's the end goal. Yeah. Okay, man. Well, I think you're on your way.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing some great things, and especially with this latest EP, which now I'm slipping.
Pieces
on.
We are.
A piece.
I was like waiting, hoping you'd finish it.
Oh man! See, it's not like on your.
It's not
main
on the main
page.
I gotta update that.
Wow.
That ChrisOrlowski.com.
Crap! I feel so terrible. We're gonna cut all this out.
Okay.
And redo it. No. pieces we are. Yeah, go to ChrisOrlowski.com and check this out. You can see upcoming show dates and everything there. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on. And I think you guys are on your way, man.
Thanks,
I think
man.
You've
can
got big things.
Put my pants on now?
Yeah, you can put your pants on now. That's fine. And if you want to get one more S word out of the way, you can do that as well.
Shit, Aaron, thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I appreciate you coming. So, yeah, go to ChrisOrlowski.com. And like I said, we'll have a link up on our website for that as well. And you can find us, www.air-raid.net, on the World Wide Web. And also, go to iTunes and rate and review the show. We've been getting some new ratings. Which is a good thing. So keep that up, guys. We really do appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go out today. Let's go out with one of your older songs, and maybe we can kind of hear the difference. In voice, right?
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. When I listened to this before, I didn't hear any difference. I still thought it was great.
Which song is this?
This is Oh No off of the Warsaw album.
I took the vocal lessons before.
Oh, you did?
That. Yeah.
Ah, dang it. Okay. Shoot. Well, anyway, this is Oh No by Chris Orlowski. And we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid. That sounds terrible. That's a terrible condition. I hope you guys don't contract that. The Air Raid podcast. Next week. All right, guys. Have a good one. Oh, no. I wept, cold bayonets, my brother's life was bright, now dull and gloom. Oh no, I bled, Wichita, Arkansas, life, and I feel the seen the mountains from the road.